5 with the 12. And I just want to insert, after he washed their feet, told them, as I have done to you, I want you to do to each other. And we're preparing for the Lord's Supper. Jesus said in verse 18, while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I. Is it one of the 12? He replied. One who dips bread, Jesus replied, one who dips bread into the bowl with me, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.
Thank you, brother. Don, can you move this over here in the middle? Right here. Yeah, I'm good. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Whoops. Thank you. I'm going to need it. Thank you. I know you did not think about a pastor who would come here and be disabled. We wheeled him in and we wheeled him out. This has been a rather interesting month. Many of you know, but I have something wrong with my hip. I believe it is sciatica. But that's unimportant compared to what we're talking about today. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke, because you're going to be following me along in Luke chapter 22. I didn't get much sleep last night, so if my gears slip a little bit, remember, I have a legitimate excuse. We're living at a time of apathy and indifference. A time when right is wrong, wrong is right, black is white, and white is black. In this world, no one seems to know what time it is by the heavenly clock. Amen? What time is it? I'm asking, Father. It is minutes, seconds before midnight. And the question addressed in Luke chapter 22, when the disciples in the upper room kept asking, is it I? Is it I? I'm going to show you the slide here. It's a beautiful slide depicting the disciples sleeping, sound asleep. And Jesus has to come and say, this is the hour. You remember he told Peter, Peter, could you not stay awake with me for even a short while? They were sleepy. It was Thursday night. All night long they were tired. The Lord celebrated the Lord's Supper on Thursday night. And all night long the disciples were tired. Peter had forgotten what God had done for him. I'm painting a picture for you about Peter the man that Jesus drew from the water and his boat. The man who walked on water. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? Who is this nut? I can hear the disciples, oh yeah, here goes Peter again. You know, he has to show off. Big Peter. Instead of asking, could I walk on water? Why couldn't I? Could the 11 have walked on water? Why didn't they? They did. They did not walk on water. They had a hard time walking on solid ground because they've been talking about how great they are, right? Who's going to be the greatest? The mother of James and John said to Jesus, you know, my children love you. Could you put one on one side and one on the other? He said, what you ask is not mine to give. One of the major problems in the church today is finding our identity, and our identity is at the foot of the cross. None of us are captains. None of us are heroes. There are no leaders but Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm going to give you five brief points because we have communion today. I want to thank my wife, and I'd like to thank Walter. Walter, thank you. And honey, you're a great wife. You've listened to me complain. This morning she said, you're going to church, and you're going to preach. Thank you, honey. I won't do it no more. I'll be good. Jesus has spent many time with the disciples, talking with them by the boats. When their boats were brought into shore, he would talk with them and visit with them. And then we read this from Luke 22:31. You have your Bible there, Luke 22. I'm going to give you a few scriptures that we could read today, beginning in verse 31, and then we'll concentrate on them. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I'm going to have much to say in a moment about that. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to the prison and death. He didn't get it, did he? Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. Three times. Now, I want you to know about sifting and shaking. A farmer of the first century AD had a large vat. It wasn't steel. It was made from woven wheat, maybe 3 feet around, three inches high on the side. He would fill it with wheat, and he would shake it vigorously from side to side. Why? Because the wheat was so heavy, it would flow to one side, and the chaff would flow to the other side. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. That's the shaking. And that's happening soon in this world. And the sifting that occurred is that the one who was shaking threw it in the air, and the wind caught the chaff, and what did it do? Because the wheat was so heavy, it fell back, but the chaff blew away. Satan has desired to blow you away, Peter. Not just shake you, blow you away. Two deceptions at the end of time. One, persecution, and the other, false teachings, create a shaking and a sifting. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're so close to the coming of the King. And I say, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, amen, amen. I have much to say about verse 32, and I'm going to come back to it. I'm aware of what the scripture says when you are converted. Well, I might just as well share it now and recapitulate at the end. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. I want you to catch the enormity of this text. He knew Peter was going to deny him and say, I never knew you. I don't want to be associated with you. And yet he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. You know what that says to you and me? Oh, glory, hallelujah, for the good news of Jesus. Amen. Rocky, you've fallen away, but when you're strengthened, come back home. Oh, I love it. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, before the rock shall crow this day, you will deny me three times. Three times. Have you ever found yourself denying Jesus? Rhetorical, unless you want to answer it. Have you ever denied Jesus? You're with your friends? Maybe you didn't deny Jesus. Maybe, perhaps, you denied the faith you believe in that talks about Jesus. What faith are you? Well, I'm I belong to a church. What church do you pastor? Well, I pastor here in town, but I'm retired now. Well, what church are you a part of? You see what happens here, do you not? You are embarrassed to tell the truth. A lot of emotions work in our minds. Peter was embarrassed because he had been pointed out. I saw you. No, you didn't. I'm not his disciple. In verse 34 of chapter 22, I hope I'm on the right page here, it says, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times. Three times. And now I want to move to stage one. We follow four stages on our life of walking away from God. Peter did it. Examine yourself as I share it with you. We have a hymn in there. Here it is. He's following away. Write it in your Bible somewhere. You're going to need this. His following away became what? Distant. Following away became a distant. And scripture says, having arrested him, they led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. His following became distant. You know how that happens? You've been going to church your whole life, and you've never really felt moved by the power of Almighty God. And you say to yourself, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. And so you stay home and you watch it on TV, live stream. And then you say to yourself, well, I don't know if that's doing much for me. And it isn't long before your following becomes distant. My, it's been a long time since we've seen you in church. Well, you know, and you don't say you don't love God. But you might as well, because you're not following him. Is that true? At a distance. He's still following Christ according to his own way of thinking, but he's incognito. He no longer is ready to die with Christ. In fact, I want to tell you something. My dear brothers and sisters, it is more difficult to walk with Jesus than die for him. Shoot me in the head. I love Jesus. No, you're going to have to prove it. It will be tested by your living. Does that sound amen? Amen? God is watching how you live, how you treat other people, how you love the unlovely, how you care about people that you've never met. The other day, I was in Walmart, and a man walked by me, and he looked like he had been hit with a train. His face was so scarred up. He was limping, and I looked at him at first, said nothing. And then I walked over, and I said, "Hi, my brother. How are you today?" He said, "I'm making it." I said, "Well, I'm a pastor of the Cottonwood Seventh-day Adventist Church. My name is Rocky." We joked about me being called Rocky. That's a good name for a preacher. On solid ground. I built my life on solid ground. And I talked to him about his life. He wasn't interested so much in prayer. But he knew who I was. And he said, "I can remember people. I'll see them again." When you fall at a distance, you lose touch with those around you that love you. "Honey, why don't you go to church?" "Well, I don't feel up to it. I don't want to go. I'm too tired. I've got problems. I don't want to go." Okay, we can watch TV from home. "You want to watch TV this morning, honey?" "No, let's go for a ride." "Okay. Next week, would you like to..." "No, I don't want to watch TV. Would you like to go for a ride?" "I guess." Are you seeing the progression of what happens in your life and my life? Stage two. His following became divided. His fellowship, rather, I'm sorry, became divided. Following distant, fellowship divided. "Now, when he had kindled a fire," they had, "in the midst of the courtyard and sat together," who sat among them? Who sat among them? Peter. He wasn't even fellowshipping with his own disciples who were going through hell. But he sits among those who don't believe. Are you catching the story? His fellowship is divided. He's more comfortable with the unconverted than he is the converted. Now, I love the unconverted because I tried to make the unconverted converted. In fact, do you know, my burden has always been to reach people who do not know Jesus. And when I see them in church, I love them. Do you know, I love Seventh-day Adventists. I love you. Your burden is my burden. I pray that my burden is your burden. You pray for me. You see how real this is? His fellowship was affected by his following. He's torn between apathy, the apathetic and the committed, torn. While the true saints love you when you're with the unconverted, your old life often surfaces. Peter said among them, he's mixing with them, with the unconverted, and he finds the old man comfortable with that. He's a man without a country. And he doesn't feel guilty. Now, Peter was confronted by the very crowd that he often condemned. Stage three. His faith is deluded. Stage three, his faith is deluded. "But he denied him, saying, Woman, I..." Say it with me. Let's read the whole text out loud together. "But he..." "I do not know him. I do not know him." Oh. is that painful? I do not know him. Really painful. I don't know who he is. His words now reveal his weakness. Listen to this. Even among men and women who do not pose a threat to him, this is a deeper issue with Peter. I don't know him. Stage number four. This finally marks his weakness. Could you ever imagine saying to the Lord of heaven and earth, I don't know you? I was visiting a man one day not long ago, and I asked him about Jesus. He said, I'm not interested in church. And I told him, I'm not talking about church. I'm asking you about Jesus. I don't, you know. Ever notice when you talk to people about Jesus, they think you're trying to corral them into something? Only the Holy Spirit can do that, right? Right? Yeah. Stage four will mark an even more distinct stage than three. Luke 22:60. Peter said, man, I don't know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was yet speaking, still speaking, the rooster crowed. That's stage number four. Rooster crowed. I do not know what you're saying. Immediately, while speaking, the rooster crowed. Peter's words condemn himself. Before something happens in your life that you knew might happen, and you say to yourself, I have not been walking with God. I know that now. I have not been walking with God. And the Lord turned to Peter. Then Peter remembered the word, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me. How many times? So Peter went out. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Oh, my. This is so sad. And wept. He said, you'll deny me. Went out and he wept. Peter went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what the Garden of Gethsemane means? Gethsemane. Gethsemane means Gethsemane, the oil press. Peter felt so alone. Oh, Jesus, what have I done? I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between Peter and Judas? They both denied Jesus. Help me out here. Peter was sorry. What about Judas? Yeah, part of it. Peter turned. When Jesus turned on the, when he was finally done, I betrayed what? The innocent blood. Threw his coins back. Yes. There's something about deception. Are you with me?
When Judas did okay. Sell Jesus out, Peter did it to save himself.
Oh, you did it. You hit the point.
Yeah.
Jesus was to save him, and he was trying to save himself. Good point. There is willful deception, self-deception, honest deception. The Apostle Paul was honestly deceived. Right? Peter was willfully deceived. He knew the Lord told him. Ah, but Judas was self-deceived. Right? And there's no turning from that. Behold, you and your household are desolate. You remember what Jesus said to Ananias and Sapphira?
No, that was the parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Bought the land, said they'd give so much, they didn't. And what did the Lord say? May your money perish with who?
You.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I read here something that Ellen White puts down about Peter. I just wanted to read it to you, if I can find it. For them all, Peter's experience had a lesson. To self-trust instead of self-denial. Self-trust, self-deception rather. Christ, though foreseeing his sin, had not abandoned him to despair. Oh, thank you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for loving us. If the look that Jesus cast upon him had spoken condemnation instead of pity, if in foretelling the sin he had failed of speaking hope, how dense would have been the darkness that encompassed Peter. Oh, but he would not hurt Peter. Oh, what a Jesus. Do you know that kind of Jesus? Yeah. Amen. As we wander down through our lesson here, we all find ourselves outside at times, when you're converted, speak to the brethren. But I prayed for you, I put this again at the last, that when you are returned, when you are converted, turn to me and strengthen the brother. You know what Jesus was saying? Peter, you're going to be converted. You're not now. Imagine the Lord saying to you, your son, who is not here, when he is converted, he'll strengthen the brethren. Your daughter, who walked away years ago, Jesus tells you, not in despair, but in encouragement. When she's converted, she will strengthen you. My grandson, you know, I love my grandson. And I said to him, Benny, he calls me every morning at 5 o'clock without fail. If I'm not up, he gets me up. And he called and he said, Grandpa, it's me, Benny. And he said, something's happening to me. I said, yes, Benny, it is. It's called conversion. Oh, what a miracle. What a miracle. You know something? I'm reminded of that text again. Benny, when you've come to see yourself as Jesus sees you and loves you, when you converted, come on back to the brethren. You're coming home. Aaron, you're coming home. Lisa, you're coming home. Those out there who are watching us and they have a loved one who's falling away, you need to tell that loved one, not that you're lost forever, but when you're converted, strengthen the family. Strengthen one another. What do you think? Oh, my brothers and sisters, this Jesus who asks, is it? And we ask, is it I? It is not I. It is not I, because I'm not going to leave him. By the power of his blood, not by the power of my words. We're going to separate for foot washing. And I want you to think about this. How much Jesus loved you. If you're visiting here and you never understood foot washing, I think Seventh-day Adventists, the Moravian faith, and others celebrate foot washing. Every church celebrated foot washing in the 1700s. And Seventh-day Adventists do today. So if you see someone here who needs a partner, please ask them if you can wash their feet. Husbands and wives. So downstairs we have a place for husbands and wives, a place for men alone, and a place for women alone. Let's pray before you go. Our Father, thank you. Oh, dear Lord, thank you. Please be with us, Father God. Help me to do my best for this church. Please, Father. Help me to make this church feel they are so special and so beloved by you. Bless us as we continue in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.